us so far, take us so far. And broken down car, like strung out old stars, strung out old stars. Playing talking, playing talk. Served us so well, served us so well. We traveled through hell, traveled through hell. Know how we fell.
Greetings, Xenophiles, and happy birthday to Herman Melville, the author of Moby Dick, who's 205 years old today. The musician Moby, who you just heard there, Richard Melville Hall is his name, and he chose the stage name Moby because people thought they were somehow related. He's not.
I didn't know that. But I read Moby Dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Painful.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's quite a book, yeah. On this day in 1900, the first Michelin guide was published. And tyres never tasted so good. In 1774, the English chemist Joseph Priestley discovered oxygen by isolating it in his gaseous state. And I wonder how we all survived before that.
Well, I didn't survive before that.
That's true.
I'm glad I was born now.
Correct, because you got all that good stuff to breathe. Yeah, and on this day in 1936, the 11th Summer Olympic Games were opened in Berlin by a guy called Adolf Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to him.
I haven't heard from him lately. Well, I guess I actually have heard from him lately. But
yeah, but he's been reincarnated as... we don't have to even say the name, do we?
Nope.
Correct. So, you've already heard our guest, Chuck. We have an American on. We have a guy who calls himself the only genuine or authentic or real banjo player in Romania. Now, if you have a claim otherwise, tell us and we'll do dueling banjos. We'll battle it out. That would be some fun, wouldn't it?
I'm here.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Chuck Hubbard with two... Is the double K thing just an affectation, or is that your actual name?
Well, yeah, apropos of my school days, that is an affectation. There was a girl in my class named Jennifer, and she was known as Jen, but if anybody ever wrote J-E-N, she got mad. She'd interrupt and raise her hand and say, excuse me, there's two N's.
Ah, okay.
And so I started doing the same thing. I kind of liked it, and I mean, I'm easy to find because of that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck with two K's.
Correct. So we're gonna do the added bonus tonight with live music. Chuck's gonna play and sing for us. We've been all the tuning up and setting up, and we're ready to go. But we're also gonna talk about your story in the usual four chapters. But before we get started, I'm gonna ask my standard opening question, Chuck all Hubbard. Right. Who do you think you are?
Who? Well, I'm not that guy. You're trying to, you know, say not. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
And I've worked very hard not to be that guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm a banjo player. Mm-hmm. I'm a dad. I'm an expat.
Right.
For what that's worth.
It gets you a free pass on this show.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, sure. It's worth it. Who am I? I can admit that that's not a question that I've given that much thought to.
I start with the hardest one. It gets easier from now. Don't worry.
All right. Good.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about...
I'll write to you tomorrow about, with my answer.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. And I'll publish it on the website. We'll do the usual, let's start with the childhood. It's like this.
Okay.
Expat life.
They're all back.
Tell me about your childhood.
As the man said... tell us about your childhood. It's already established that you're American. Yeah. It's a big old place. Where are you from?
Pennsylvania, so central PA, close to Three Mile Island. I think I mentioned that in my notes earlier. That,
mm-hmm.
And my parents were young. My grandparents were and are young, which when you're a kid, it's maybe not the greatest always. But now that I'm an adult, it's...
It's
fantastic.
Yeah, well, I guess that means they're going to stick around longer.
My grandma's still around, yeah.
Yeah.
And my daughter, actually, she's 13 now. She's spent some time with my grandma, which is, across the ocean, yeah.
Yes. So,
that's related to my background, mm-hmm. but...
So were you growing up in a big city, in a village? I mean,
somewhere in between, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's one of the small towns where they say don't blink when you drive through it. Because you won't see it.
All right.
Charmantown, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Shout out to all the people in 717 area code out there.
Am I imagining sort of wooden shacks and tumbleweed, or was it more to it than that?
No, it was strip malls.
Oh, right.
Yeah, malls and fast food, cinemas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they still exist, but they did then.
Okay.
So I'm pretty old.
Mm-hmm.
We had a rotary phone when I was a kid, as a matter of fact.
Oh, now they hear children remember those things.
Yeah.
Stick your finger in it and go... yeah. Get arrested for that now.
Exactly. Unless you're...
Unless you're our age.
Yeah.
Yep. You describe yourself as a Northern Yankee.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I feel like maybe it's not so obvious all the time, but I feel like I talk fairly fast. I have some friends who mm-hmm. talk slowly and I get really impatient. Like, come on, finish the sentence.
Yeah.
And of course, that's maybe the most populated part of the country too. I mean, that's where the Limeys landed the first time in the Northeast. My folks, right? It's I guess my dad traced our lineage back to the Mayflower, supposedly. So.
Okay.
But Northern Yankee, yeah. I mean, I guess I feel the contrast there more because I play the banjo, which is more of a Southern instrument. It's kind of changed maybe lately, mm-hmm. but traditionally it was played in the South. But it was kind of my ticket to fitting in with my kind of estranged family from the South when I went to visit down there.
Okay,
I told you one of my grandpas was from the Blue Ridge Mountains,
mm-hmm. and I can't hear those words without. That song from Laurel Denver and Hardy song. Sticking in my head.
What song?
The one from Laurel and Hardy.
Really?
Trail of the Lonesome Pine.
Ah.
Every time I hear the words Blue Ridge Mountains, that song is in my head.
I see.
Not the John Denver one.
Not the John Denver one. Okay, that's fine. No complaints.
And so it's already established that your parents and your grandparents, you were, let's say, a fairly rapidly reproducing family.
Right.
but what about the volume? Were you one of a big tribe or were you the only child? I mean,
I had one sister, but my mom has four sisters and one brother. And so I have about, I guess it's middle families,
okay.
10 cousins or so, not that many. But
half of the course sounds, you know, average.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's, what about school? School. Did you enjoy school? Were you good at school?
Yes, I was pretty good at school, although towards the end I kind of didn't care so much about it. Yes, it's a common enough story. I passed all my finals just by remembering stuff.
Yeah.
Not by studying at all. Just remember the teacher said something. And
what's the bare minimum I need to work to get this thing over with? Yeah, get on with the rest of my life? Yes, right. I know the feeling.
I didn't go to college. I didn't mention this, that I didn't go to college right after high school. I waited 10 years.
Oh, okay.
And I was the first in my family, my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up bringing me here, which I guess we'll also talk about.
Yeah, we will discuss. You were dreaming of, were you always dreaming of being a banjo player? When you're sort of in school and you're thinking, when I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor, lawyer, train driver, astronaut, what?
Well, so the list is kind of short. I mean, but it's a different list. I wanted to be a locksmith. I was fascinated by the way they work. I wanted to take them apart. I wanted to be Harry Houdini at one point, which I guess was maybe part of that same way of that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a pilot. And I practiced like pretending to fly a plane, like figured out the controls, and that was short-lived, though.
Right.
Magician, I wanted to make things disappear, card tricks and stuff. Money. I still do some of that. Never wanted to be an astronaut or a doctor or... No, I mean, when I heard about what doctors do and how they get trained, I said, no way. I'll sweep the floor in the subway before
they... Oh, right.
I mean... Yeah, I still would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And was it Steve Martin that got you into the banjo, or the banjo that got you into Steve Martin? Most people think of Steve Martin only as a comedian, and he's a very good banjo player.
Yeah. Well, he was doing that in the 70s on the stage, and he would tell a stupid joke, and then he would play the banjo. And for me, the two were just connected.
Yeah.
My first exposure to banjo was with Kermit the Frog when I was a kid, and I didn't.
Oh, wow.
I never liked him that much. So only after I discovered Steve Martin, then I picked up the banjo and
Well, I never associated Kermit with banjo, but there we go.
He used to play.
okay. Right. Now I'm steaming ahead because I want to get in the commercial break scene, because after that you're going to play it for us live.
Am I
now?
Really?
Yeah, well, you are. Anything particularly unusual about your childhood apart from the early obsession with Steve Martin?
I can say that my parents always encouraged me to read and to learn, and I mean, things weren't perfect and we didn't have everything, but I always had passed to the library. I always had a room full of books and anything to encourage my mind that I wanted. And it was paradise in that sense.
Cool. And if I've never been to your hometown.
Okay.
And if I go there, apart from the Three Mile Island.
Yeah.
which, has it cooled down yet?
I don't know what the situation is. I believe that they turned it off. There may have been one reactor that was still going until a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apart from that, what should I go and check out?
My hometown, geez. The mall, I guess.
The strip mall.
I'm sure there's something I just can't think of. Yeah. You know, Jubilee Day in Mechanicsburg is a good celebration in June. It's a street fair, and people are proud of that. Worth seeing.
Right. Okay, now what I'm going to do now, you're going to go and change your chair. It's in the chair, and I am going to, we're going to pay some bills. Back in a minute.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
And we're back, and Chuck's moved now. He's sitting over there on the other chair. Yeah, and you got some nice reverb on your voice now. So, literally, whenever you are ready.
Alrighty.
What piece are you going to play for us first?
Well, it's an old traditional American song. I don't know the exact origin, but it's Shortening and Bread, which is probably pretty well known. It's not a very traditional bluegrass piece, but it's a banjo song. Yeah?
Okay.
All right. And it goes something like this.
Shorty, mama, little baby, love a shortening bread. Three little children lying in the bed. Two of them sick and the other most dead. Mama called the doctor and the doctor said, get them children some shortening bread. Throw on the skillet, throw on the lid. Mama gonna make a little bed. Well, that ain't all she gonna do. Mama's gonna make a little coffee too. Mama's little baby like a shortening, shortening. Mama's little baby like a shortening bread. And mama's little baby like a shortening, shortening. Mama's little baby like a shortening bread.
You can come and sit back in the other chair now, if you like. Yeah, and then we were going to talk about the other part of the show, which is...
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Goes like that. So this is basically Chuck Hubbard now. Thank you for the song. One of those classic songs that everybody knows it. Everybody's heard it 100,000 million times.
Okay.
But I'm not sure where from.
Yeah, I mean... I'm also not sure what it's supposed to mean. I guess it was just a real situation that happened. I mean, somebody had to make some shortening bread to save some kids, and
that's right about what you know, basically.
You might as well, yeah.
This is the kind of thing. And the way you sing it, like you're 120 years old.
Exactly. Yeah, I've not combined voice singing with banjo very much. It's kind of difficult to do the rhythm on your hands and to sing. And it's actually difficult to speak after doing it as well, apparently.
Right. Okay, you're managing. It's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after school, you said you didn't go straight to college.
Right, yeah.
So what did you do?
I got a job. This is what was what you did. I ended up with a pretty decent job at one point. And after 10 years... I realized I didn't like working, so I
decided, what was the job that kept you for 10 years before you realized you didn't like it?
Well, at one point I was answering phones, I was flipping burgers, but the job that I stayed at the most, this is incredibly exciting, was reading the writing of doctors on sheets of paper and then typing that into computers.
I was
really good at it.
That is a hell of a skill, because we all know how doctors write.
Yeah, right. I knew all those, it was like mental health diagnoses were ones that I did.
Were you just basically reading it and typing it, or were you like learning absorbing it all, and now you're an expert?
Yeah, you can't help learning, absorbing some of it, yeah. But of course, I mean, today everything is digitized. At that time, if you went into a doctor's office and said, you need to have the internet, they'd have said, what? I'm a doctor.
It doesn't exist. Yeah.
Please.
Right. Well, it's still a bit like that here in some
places. Yeah, okay, true, correct.
Yeah.
Yes, I've experienced that as well.
And so after the 10 years of writing patient diagnoses, you realize that maybe... And what, were you still playing music? Were you still banjoing and kind of as a sideline, or had you just let it go?
A little of both. I guess I picked it up fairly rarely when I was in my 20s. And when I did finally go to college, or maybe does that come later, college, I was more into composing. And I did less with the banjo.
So suddenly you decided, okay, enough with that. I'm going to college and I'm going to study what exactly?
Music composition, I chose.
Oh, just like that, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were no programs. I still don't know of any programs. There might be one or two now for banjo players.
Right.
To major in banjo playing. I think there's a couple now.
You should start one.
In the 90s, yeah.
Start one here.
Here?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I might get two students and sign up for it. Yeah, so I found a college that would take me, like I didn't have to play piano or guitar or violin or whatever to study composition. In most schools, even if you're studying composition, you have to play a major instrument. But I found one where I didn't. University of the Arts, which I think I also mentioned there, just recently closed about a month ago. I don't know the whole story, but it suddenly they announced we're closing the university, all the teachers and the students.
That's find something other you don't work. Hear very often, really. I thought universities lasted forever.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, the Romanian word comes to me, alcaltuit. It was put together from several different institutions.
Okay, so merged together.
So maybe some of them will live on. I don't know.
Okay, strange. And what was it about? What was it about Frank Zappa?
Yeah. Well, I was exposed to Frank Zappa at an early age by my dad. There's photos of me with him, and he had a Zappa shirt on.
Yeah.
And listening to his compositions, I got past the comedy music and the rock, and I got into some actual compositions where it's exactly. Thank you.
It's a brilliant piece of music.
Yeah, Peaches and Regalia. What would make somebody want to do nothing but to spend their time creating that?
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do it to be liked, obviously.
No.
He didn't do it for the likes because he didn't get that many.
A lot of jazz going on there in the background, isn't there? I mean, people say, oh, Frank Zappa, he's the guy who sings about...
all those things you can't say.
Yeah, right. Things that you normally can't say on the radio.
Right.
But... I could just play this over and over, then there'd be no show.
Do you know that all those reed instruments, all those wind instruments, I believe, are the same guy playing?
All right.
And he, at that time, he was still young. He didn't have much equipment, so he would speed some up, slow some down to give, just to have a variety of different sounds. But Ian Underwood, I guess he played any wind instrument you could throw at him, he could play it. And so there's only, I don't know, 3 or 4 people on that recording as I... You can look that up, I'm not sure.
And it's a whole... And it's quite a piece to play live. That's going to take some discipline. Anyway, enough with the Frank Zappa. So you took the study in composition.
Right.
And now, how does this work? I've never done it, right? Is it like generic composition, or do you say, I want to compose in this style, or this kind, or this genre? No.
It's a composition, and I guess you choose a school where there's professors that are teaching a style or that are good at a style that you like. My school was focused on jazz, largely mm-hmm. focused on jazz, but in the composition program, we could do anything we wanted. Like I was saying, they accepted me as a banjo player, and I said, okay, that's it for me. But I was allowed to make my own way. Yeah, mm-hmm. I had to write a string quartet, had to write a brass piece, things like this, a piano, a sonata, so on. You have to have the experience of having done it, even if you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, once they're written, do you then get to arrange them and have them performed and recorded?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You still got them?
There's
a question.
I've saved on a hard drive somewhere. Yeah. My school had one of the first Moog synthesizers, actually. Moog.
Yeah, correctly pronounced Moog. Okay. I wanted to work for Moog in the 70s, but then they went bankrupt.
Oh, he was not a businessman, I guess.
Yeah. But they're back now, back more than ever.
Sure.
They're making some fabulous kit now.
Yeah. My composition teacher, professor, what do you say? I mean, rest in peace. May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. He was apparently, maybe not friends, but acquaintances with Bob Moog. So he managed to get one for the school.
Mm-hmm. Famously, Bob Moog always insisted on having T-shirts with a pocket here, on the breast pocket.
Yeah.
And he was famous for it. Why? Because he always put pens and pencils in there because he always had to have a pen or a pencil because he had an idea and he would just write a circuit down wherever he could find it.
I can relate. I can relate to that. I still carry a notepad with me everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Next to my bed at night.
Wake up in the middle and boom, I've got an idea.
Right.
Off it goes. Yeah. So how long did you do the studying?
I got a bachelor's degree, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I met my Romanian future wife.
Okay, yeah.
Am I talking about that too soon?
No. You're talking about it exactly at the right time.
Good. She did a master's in museum studies. Museum exhibition planning and design, the department that no longer exists, of course. We fell in love and we got married and then found out, she can't stay.
I mean, was it instantly like this?
It was... A little bit more banjo. There was a little bit more banjo in there. Yeah, it was pretty much the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, eyes met across a crowded room and bang, that was it kind of story.
Was it?
I don't know. You tell me.
I guess, so I was working in the computer lab. She's listening right now, I hope. She came in because she had lost a USB drive. And she called it a jump drive, which I had never heard before. And she said, I lost a jump drive. And I said, excuse me? She had a slight accent, and she said, I jump drive. And I said, I'm sorry, what kind of drive? And she started to get angry because, of course, she'd lost half of her work of the semester, right? And the rest is history.
Did you ever ask her if it was just an excuse or whether this was really that the story?
And you know, Steve, I never did ask her that. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'll pretend I didn't think of that.
Okay. You're not as devious as me.
Exactly.
Evidently. Yeah. And then, okay, so you met. She has a name, I guess.
Irina Hasnash.
So you met her.
There's two Irina Hasnash. She's not the musician Irina Hasnash, who's pretty well established here. Mm-hmm. But I think that they're related. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and she works. She's worked in many different museums here. Tried to bring in what she learned in America to the museums here.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot dealing with recent history, with the communist period, something that you don't see too much in the museums. Well, you can still see some of the communist exhibits in some mm-hmm. of the museums.
And so what happens was you didn't, as you wrote in your notes, and I like this honesty.
Okay.
When I get to the question, did you just come straight to Romania or did you travel the world? And you said, like many Americans, I never left the U.S.
Right.
Stayed there.
I can understand in a way if there's anything you want to see. If you want to see desert, you want to see a volcano, mm-hmm. you want to see surfing on the beach, you can go there in America. You can drive there.
Yeah.
But Europe is something that I had always wanted to see. My favorite writers and so on, Kafka, they were all from Europe. And so it was kind of on my list anyway. But she's the reason that I ended up here.
Okay. And basically because it was like Irina couldn't stay, so you said, I'll come with you.
Ooh. Yeah.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. The arriving in Romania part. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit... Going to pay some bills, and while that's happening, you go sit in the other chair.
All right.
And you're going to give us a little bit more of the old live music.
Coming right up.
Yeah. So let me hit the right mouse button. Should I hit the right? There we go. Watch this.
You're listening to Expat Life on Radio Gorilla.
Because you're driving home from work, right?
And we're back. And Chuck is sitting on his nice chair there. Let's turn up the live. Now you're just going to play some banjo. No backing track, just you all on your own with your five strings. And what are you going to do for us?
It's called For Sasha.
Right.
It's a composition by Bela Fleck, which is fairly unusual. And I mean, there's a lot to say about it, but maybe it's better in writing. It's in an unusual key, but it introduced me to a technique that I've... since gone on to try to work into many, many other things.
Let's go.
That's for me to know, I guess.
It's all yours. Nice. That's an interesting technique there you mentioned, because it sounded like you were playing almost classical guitar there.
So he was inspired by classical guitarists. He had plenty of opportunity to work with them. But actually, I think he was fairly young when he wrote this. It's kind of a mini. I mean, it's not a long piece, but it's an E flat, and the banjo is tuned in G.
Ooh.
But most people would just throw a capo on the banjo to play something in E flat. But I don't know how to describe it. So I use three fingers on my right hand instead of one pick. Mm-hmm. So if I play, normally I don't play very linear. I'll never play the same string twice in a row. So you normally never play any runs or any scales or anything linear. But it's possible to do it by rolling between some of the strings in a very surprising way that surprisingly difficult to explain. But I explored this after I discovered this piece in London, and I mean, it occupied me for months.
And by not using a capo, you're forced to make different shapes, and that's I remember your mate and my old mate Hanno, right? He was playing a small concert with Raoul Kushak downstairs in the basement of Usina in Piazza Amzi. The brilliant little gigs, and they kept playing various marvelous songs, but in between each song Hanno's putting a capo on a different fret. And Raoul's getting really angry. He's going, you're cheating. You can't put a capo on a piano.
Well, yeah, it's true. I mean, I guess Hanno plays a lot of different styles. I know in bluegrass, some of the best guitarists will still use a capo just because there are few things you can do with it that you can't do without it. And even Bella has said that if somebody asks him to play straight ahead driving bluegrass, he'll throw a capo on there. Mm-hmm. If he's playing classical or jazz, he'll do his thing, but if it's bluegrass, the capo is
right.
It's acceptable.
Okay, let's move the story on.
Expat life.
Chaotic. Quixotic. Exotic.
This is supposed to be about your time here. In this chaotic, quixotic, exotic country, which is Romania. So you decided, we've already discussed, you decided, if Irina can't stay there, you're coming here.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it just out of the, like that, I'm coming, I'll see what happens, or did you make, you know, proper plans?
It was just, I'll see what happens, I was thinking, well, I've got some money in the bank.
Right.
It'll last me 2 months at least. See how it goes.
Come on, 2 months is a lifetime.
Worst case scenario. So actually, she left in June after we graduated, and I stayed. We worked a few months just at a temp job somewhere, and joined her in September. And actually, anyway, her obligation to stay here was for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I don't know what to say. I was kind of feeling wanted, and it ended up. It worked out for me. I mean, being banjo player here, at least. I'm not famous, but I have played with some famous people like Loredana I mentioned, or I played with the Bunk once.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the chances that I wouldn't have had in the U.S. because I would have been one out of 10,000 banjo players instead of the only one.
And your first impressions when you landed at Otapen on the first time, when, was it summer or winter?
It was September.
You said,
yes, it was September.
So not too bad then. I mean, but it can still be quite warm.
Right, it was okay in the weather.
And on that road in from Otapen down into the city centre, it's like, what the hell am I doing?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, so my father-in-law is an actor. Mm-hmm. I guess he's finally retired now. He was officially retired, but he continued. He was working in, he played King Carol in Restuje Tecere, if you know that film from, I don't know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was that film or he was shooting something else. And they sent, because he was on the set, they sent one of the drivers to get me. And so I came out of the airport and my wife was there and she said, okay, let's go get in the car. And it was a Mercedes van. I said, well, okay, nice car.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, they sent it from the film set.
I was, okay. I'm feeling like Hollywood. This is, I've moved to Boof there,
there was, we first visited her art studio in the center and it was, it's a pretty old communist building, and which now I look at it and I think that's beautiful. So irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
When it collapses, they can never replace it.
Right.
But at the time I was looking around me thinking, my God, it's just like in the movies, in the Iron Curtain.
And, everyone's going to think you're a spy. Right?
Yeah, true. I was accused of that. I met a lot of people around Romania through my wife. I mentioned she knows... She has friends everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when I joined Loredana, then we would be touring with the guys in the band who are all younger than me. And not every time, but they exaggerated and said, every time we stop in a town, you know some, you go and meet with somebody.
Right.
You're a spy. Just because I happen to know people in Brasov and Budapest and Moldova and everywhere.
And because not so much nowadays, but I can remember sort of being the foreigner, people single you out. and they come to you. So you do end up knowing a lot of people.
Right.
Just because you're unusual.
You know? Sure, sure. Right. Which is nice.
Yeah, yeah, nothing wrong with it. So after, you mentioned Loredana. You went, basically this was a long-term paying gig. And did this, is this how did you basically make your living here? Was it doing things like that or?
I taught English over the years a lot.
Okay.
It was the fallback for many people. I've been teaching English at the school now with children, which is something I put off for a long time. At Big Ben School, if I can mention it. And I found that I love it because even though children, like if you're not funny and if you're not entertaining them, you lose them, which I didn't like.
Right.
At the same time, I can be as stupid as I want. I put on peanut butter jelly time for them. I should have mentioned that.
Oh, go ahead.
I love it.
Peanut butter jelly time, explain. Yeah.
Do you know peanut butter jelly time?
I know what peanut butter is, and I know what jelly is, and I know what time is, but what's...
it's an old Flash animation from 30 years ago, 25 years ago, with a banana dancing and singing peanut butter jelly time.
Okay.
And it was like the early meme kind of thing before they had the Facebook. Something that these Romanian kids would never be exposed to if I hadn't come here to deliver them.
So it's like, Chuck, play it again because it's funny and it's better than learning.
They know Macarena. If I put on Macarena, they know all the words. They get up and dance.
Yep.
Maybe that's not a good thing.
Because you're supposed to be teaching English, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, half the words are in English, but they're the words that you don't want the children to learn. So.
Yep. And then you found, you've been doing some stuff, for example. Are you allowed to talk about what you're doing with Hanno?
We haven't...
Or what you've done with Hanno, because that's when I first met you.
That's
when you were playing along with Hanno in Green Hours.
You invited me for a couple of songs, with Night Losers. We've played a bunch of times over the years. But I had the idea to do something traditional. I mean, I play... Well, I guess my instrument is associated with a pretty well-fixed one style of music. But here, I think that style of music hasn't really caught on. I mean, it hasn't been discovered, I could say, that in a more positive way. Whereas maybe in the U.S., I have an electric banjo, and people would be like, wow, it's an electric banjo. But if I bring out the electric banjo here, people say, oh, it's a guitar. I didn't want you to say that.
And if you bring out your ordinary one, they think it's a ukulele.
Yeah, that too. I've gotten that guitar, ukulele, anything but banjo. But yeah, I wanted to try to do an acoustic, probably acoustic project with him. I don't know who's going to be on voice. I don't know. I mean, we're both singing a couple of the songs, but we don't have any shows lined up quite yet, fortunately.
Yeah, but are you planning to have this, are you planning to release this at some point? Soon,
I'm gonna have albums, gigs, you know. We haven't talked about it, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah, anything is possible. Yeah,
sure.
And live playing. I mean, you still get around and just play live whenever you can and wherever you can.
Yeah. I have a good friend I met here, another American who married another Romanian woman. Mike Blakey is a musician, singer, songwriter from Missouri, but unfortunately, he moved back to the States. But anytime we're on the same continent, we play a few gigs.
Right.
He's got some stuff up online, Spotify, I think, too, and so on.
Right.
I play with Dom Lagoy from time to time. We're kind of like old friends, and they call me up every once in a while. We have some fun.
Cool. Because, I mean, you can add a different texture to any arrangement or any production. You can, you know, and it's, I remember, I can always hear when there's a banjo in the mix.
Yeah.
And I was thinking some Scottish bands Scottish rock bands who I wouldn't expect, but at the end of the song, suddenly you hear the band, Delamitri particularly.
Okay.
Always the last to know. It's a marvelous track. And at the end of it, clear as a bell, out comes a banjo to the fade. And it just adds a nice twist.
Right. You know, apropos, sonorically or whatever the word is, acoustically, there is something about it that in a lot of bluegrass bands, and this is one thing that I always loved about it, when somebody else takes a solo or the person's singing a verse, the banjo just keeps going. He's just playing away. He's just
playing away.
It doesn't bother anybody because he's just not overlapping.
It's not overpowering. It's, the frequencies are quite sort of within a certain range.
He just keeps soloing and soloing and soloing.
Off it goes. Yeah. Do you travel around the place? I mean, apart from touring, do you like to? I mean, one of those people who shoots off to the mountains every weekend or off? You know?
Not quite. I like every part of Romania, mm-hmm. just about. And I miss them all when I'm not there. But I'm fine with staying home as well. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of things that I like to do. I keep busy. So
good. Yeah, we're gonna hit the next commercial break in a short minute because and then you got another piece of music to play us.
Alrighty.
We glossed over something in your notes. You were doing computer music.
I was interested in some microtonal systems. Long story,
it's like the Far East, Asian Chinese kind of music stuff, where they have something in between the semitones.
Yeah, along those lines. Invented by a guy named Harry Parch, an American guy. He invented a system, and I wrote a program to work with it. But then I discovered that people liked the banjo more. So I kind of
so there are smaller intervals than the 12th root of two.
Yeah. He used the 42. Notes in his octave, I guess, on his
42?
Instrument.
Wow!
But he also said theoretically there's an infinite number
of course,
of notes.
I suppose there are.
Play anything, yeah. But he was limited by the physical mm-hmm. instrument.
Okay, let's pay some more bills, and while you can move to your other chair,
ready.
And we'll see you on the other side of this break.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Gorilla.
And we're back. Chuck is sitting over there again. And yeah, you're going to play us another backing track. And you're going to play something called Clinch Mountain Backstep. What on earth is that?
I have no idea where that comes from. I understand that it's a traditional song, but Ralph Stanley made it famous.
Yeah.
It's in the 50s. One of the first generation bluegrass bands. Bluegrass is actually not that old.
Oh, really?
And I've been told that it was designed to sound old, but it was played by the same guys that played the old music. So
right.
Okay. And I've thrown in a little extra special Romanian treat in there, which I...
Yeah. Oh, the look on everyone's face when you played this earlier.
Yeah.
And suddenly it took a few seconds for people to realize what was actually going on. But then when the penny dropped and it was like, what?
nice. All right.
All yours.
Here we go.
You should get honorary citizenship for being able to do that.
Well, you know, I heard that song and I thought, that's beautiful. Yeah. The Romanian national anthem. Uh-huh. I just loved it and I figured it out. I figured out a way to play it banjo style and then I got faster and faster. But, you know, usually when you're playing banjo, I was told this sometimes when I would make a mistake on the stage and I'd apologize and people say, nobody knows if you made it. one note out of 1,000, nobody noticed that you made a mistake. But when you play somebody's national anthem, you don't.
You've got to get it right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's fair enough. Yeah. Cool. Nicely done. It's a nice mix. Oh, you just had that idea, like, out of the blue, you thought you heard the two songs in your head at the same time, and you went, wall up, going to do that.
Yeah, I guess because they're both, you know, Clinch Mountain Backstep is minor, but I guess traditionally the guitarist and the other instrumentalists play major chords under it. Fairly unusual thing. I don't know if other styles of music do this, but it's...
Right.
Okay. I mean, you play a minor scale over major chords in bluegrass. I guess in the blues, you have this all the time, actually.
I suppose so, yeah.
So, but, not that surprising.
It was a very nice sound and an interesting thing because, as I said, it took a few bars for you to realize what's going on. And then, hang on a minute.
Nice.
It's that. Right. How cool is that? Now, we've got about 2 minutes to talk about...
Expat life.
Next chapter.
What happens next?
I have no plans to return to the U.S. I'm fluent in Romanian, by the way. I guess that's my second language now.
Wow, okay.
I guess you are too, actually.
If I'm cornered.
Conversation.
Right.
My daughter's 13, which I guess is kind of like if you're going to move back to your home country, like definitively, then you don't wait too much longer to do it for her.
Right. Guess, because otherwise, then which one is it? I mean, you lose touch completely.
Right, right. Because up to a certain age, you can be friends with anybody you run into. But
that's
after
true.
A while, you kind of miss.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. I haven't asked her.
Mm-hmm.
she's just as happy in America as she is.
She's probably
here.
Listening. And as soon as you get home, she's going to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's away in camp right now.
Ah, okay.
With no access to any computers.
She might have a radio. It goes on the radio as well.
You know,
remember radio?
Damn, Steve, you didn't tell me.
No, there's actually nobody listening at all. It's just you and me. Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Even better.
I was going to /dev/null.
Yeah.
No one can hear this. And if you can, turn off now.
Can I say something about
absolutely.
The track?
Yes.
We play it after the commercial?
I was just about to say that. Go ahead. Tell me.
Yeah.
You've got about a minute and a half before we have to start it.
Okay.
So tell us about Smiley. I mean, I wasn't expecting that word. Tell me, Smiley.
I did meet him a couple of times, but I never really... I mean, he's a nice guy. He will take a selfie with anybody. But I was just looking for the right song to use to make a banjo demo to put online, just for people to hear, for Romanian musicians to hear what banjo can do with a Romanian song.
Right.
And I heard this song and it got stuck in my head and I thought, I can do that. And as I started to record, I got more and more ambitious. I did the voice. I did a rap for it. I filmed it. My hard drive crashed and I lost everything.
Oh, no.
And then I went to some guys and paid like a 2,000 lei and they gave me everything back.
Yeah.
I did all the editing, all the instruments, all the voice, and I was so proud of it. And finally, actually, Smiley shared it when somebody sent it to him on Facebook and he shared it. So I was like, okay, it's all right.
Oh, official endorsement.
Right?
Yeah. They didn't sue you or anything.
Exactly. Yet. I guess he still could. I don't know.
Is he getting a cut of the royalties? Then he's not going to sue you.
Well, I think he is.
Okay, fair enough.
The zero lay that I've made.
Yeah. So, and should we just get straight in it?
Because
it's actually his time. We have got to go. The students are coming. Oh man, they're out. And they start it. See, most students take the summer holidays off. But these guys are conscientious. They love it here.
They're
going to. Keep working all through the summer.
Punishment.
Exactly, yeah. Having said that, not me. This is the last show before September. We'll go out with it's called Akasa. Yeah, and it's Chuck. And it's not live. This is something pre-recorded and then lost and then salvaged and re-edited.
Exactly.
And he went through a lot of pain to get this track. Thank you very much, Chuck Hubbard. That was great. I enjoyed
Thanks
that story.
Lot,
and thank you for playing it live. And that was quite an event.
Thank you very much. Steve.
And let's not forget that tomorrow is International Beer Day.
Oh, I will be there.
Yeah, and the day after that, I'm driving to Greece. And I'll see you in
September.
Not the same
day. Yeah, okay.
No, not the same.
All right. Have a great vacation.
Let's go. Thanks a lot. Let's have a listen to this. Have a great August. This has been Expat Life.
And new am nicio semn de întrebare. Câteodată e greu să fiu el, dar nu vreau să fiu oarecare. Vreau să cânt, să visez și să râd, să nu uit să mă joc câteodată. Și atunci când în lume voi pleca, să nu uit să mă întorc acasă. Vreau să cânt, să visez și să râd, să nu uit să mă joc câteodată. Și atunci când în lume voi pleca, să nu uit să mă întorc acasă.
Stay tuned for Human React. Young Minds, fresh ideas.
Cât mai respir, vreau să rămân copil, vreau să mă bucur de viață, că nu se știe când mai vin. Vreau să beau cu ței cu vine, să stau cu cine vine, să-mi iubesc prietenii așa cum mă iubesc pe mine. Vreau să gust din plăcere, să trec peste durere, știi că viața oferă celui care cere. Și atunci mă amintesc că în viață nu există după. Dar îmi bine câteodată să frec, să-l las merte de tot. Vreau să cânt. I've seen a lot of things I could not say, but home is still with the old folks. Stays in the park all day and they don't gotta pay. Homers, if they send you letters, you might be a winner. You didn't know better. Neighbors wanna talk about the winner. Did you ever have guests? You phone won't ever go home when the skies are never cloudy. Home with the cookies are Girl Scout. A home where they don't talk shit about me. Home where the love lies waiting loudly. You can catch your breath, you can dress like a robot high on meth, drink Nescafe till you're rich. And yes, you can sit at home and bore yourself to death. So we say she's a rich, tell them we some more joke. Could tell that she out to good and loom the boy with the cast and the way someone told the cast.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
You mobs, please!
Good night, everybody!
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.